announce, introduce our 10-minute speaker, Lindy from Nipomo.
My name's Lindy, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
I want to welcome the newcomers. This is a place where life begins. My sobriety date is 11-2 of 1997. And in October of 97, if someone would have told me I would manage to put together the time that I have, I would have thought they were absolutely crazy. Just a little short period of background. I know 10 minutes, I can usually do that in a share. as my friend tells me. I was born in a little town called Wasco. Not the prison. It's a men's prison. My mother's side of the family are very well-off farmers, and my dad was a bad boy that my mother fell in love with. He left my mom when she was 3 months old, and she raised me. Want to hit really fast on parenting. I have found that it doesn't matter who was there when your mother got pregnant. What matters is who's there as you're raised. My biological father was out of my life very, very quickly, and my stepfather raised me, and I wish that, you know, with hindsight being 20/20, I wish I could have seen how much he'd actually done for me before I became an adult. But my relationship with him is now very, very good. I want to talk about the two different aspects of Alcoholics Anonymous. One is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. The book and the first 164 pages outline the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. The meetings are the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is the meat and potatoes. And I know we get scared. We look at that book, and it's like the only time you read is when you're in jail. You know, be careful with that because you might go back to jail just so you can read it. By coming to these meetings, by taking suggestions from other people that have come before me, I've been able to put together some time. I am free from the bondage of my alcoholism. This is an AA meeting, and I believe that when you're in an AA meeting, you identify yourself as an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic. At the bottom of every bottle for me is a sack. I'm also an addict. I also do the other fellowship, but I get my serenity and my recovery from Alcoholics Anonymous and the steps that are in this book that were clearly outlined. This is an instruction manual. The instructions are in there. Anything you can imagine that you have problems with, all the stuff that was ever done to you and all the stuff you've ever done to anybody else, they can give you a solution. Because when we come in here, all we have is problems. You know, the law is on my back. Child welfare service is on my back. You know, my family is on my back. But of course, we don't see our part in it. And one of the best things I think about a 12-step program is we're able to see our parts and things, because, you know, other people that are normies out there don't get that. I came in here, well, the last time I got arrested, I lived in Oildale, and I was on a bicycle with a baby seat for my two-year-old. My two older children had been removed from my care because I was an unfit mom. I would love to say it was their father's fault, and they're picking on me, and they came and took my kids, or what is it? They came and took my kids, and the truth is nobody took anything. I gave it away. You know, and if you're here with the Child Welfare Services case today, and you think that it's over and that, you know, you're never going to get your kids back, quit thinking. Your thinking is what got you here. I know I've had some people that says, you know, they're taking my kids. They told me let the mom take them and for me just to back off. And I encouraged them not to do so. And within a year and a half, they did get their children back. You know, but that's not always the case. You might not. And if the only reason you're here is because you want to get your children back, keep in mind you might not. And what are you going to do then? I didn't see my oldest daughter for 8 years because of my choices. And that was a really good reason to stay loaded for a really long time. When I finally decided I was going to get sober, and I didn't think I had supervised visits in Idaho. I couldn't get off the damn block, much less out of the state. I came in here, and after I had a year of sobriety, I was able to go back and request my visitation again. I got my visits back within 3 years. That child was back with me. She said that her mom had earned the right to be her mom again. And she was 8 years old the last time I saw her. And then I got my visits back. And I had some recovery. I knew what to do. And I also knew that if I didn't get her back, that I would be okay too. I had a son that I hadn't seen for a while. And through this program, I got him back. I had a two-year-old that was the catalyst that got me in these rooms. My parents were gonna take her from me permanently, and we're gonna take over guardianship, and I couldn't do it again. She was the baby, you know. I'd already made choices, and I had willingly given up my older two children, and I wasn't gonna do it again. And I got into a women's outpatient treatment program. I did a one-year outpatient program. First thing I ever finished in my life, except pregnancy. And the only reason I finished that is because I didn't have a choice. We never finish shit, you know? I finished my steps. I was unemployable when I got here. I was employed for my parents at a dry cleaners for 5 years. It was the first job I ever kept for longer than a few months. First time I'd gotten a check and didn't go out and waste it. I got my driver's license back. I got off probation. I went back to school. You know, when I was in that outpatient program, I told my counselor there, I said, man, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. And today I run a treatment program. There's nothing we can't do. We are so smart, we outsmart ourselves. You know, some of the stuff we do in order to stay loaded is insane. So if we put half as much energy into our recovery as we put in staying loaded, because staying loaded and drunk is work. You know, I get to get up in the morning, I get to go to work. I get to pay a house payment, I get to pay a car payment. I don't have to do any of that stuff. One time I came to a meeting and there was a kid that was sitting right over there in that corner, and he says, I have to stay sober. And I'm thinking, why? I don't have to do shit. My mom tells me, you have to do this. I'm like, I do what I want, right? Today, we don't have to do this. This is a choice. And when you're in the treatment programs and you're going to program and they're making you come to meetings and all this other stuff, you don't have to be in that program. You get to choose today what you're going to do. You can make your decision to go to that program to stay sober and do what you need to do in order to move forward. Because if you don't, well, then you're going to suffer consequences of your actions. You know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And when we choose to get loaded, I go to jail. I can't say about any of the rest of you. Some of you people come in and say, well, I never went to jail. You know, my life just got so bad. I don't do that. I'm one of those people that I don't stop till I go into handcuffs. And even then, the last place I got loaded was in Kern County Jail. And we all know there's a lot of drugs and alcohol and everything else going through the jails right now. One of the things that was really attractive to me when I got here, you know, someone told me to read pages 83 and 84 because I wanted those promises. You know, there's promises written in there. If we do these things, then this is what will probably happen. I'm going to read that to you. The book is really important to me. The book is the outline for my recovery. And it says, this is step 10. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I was never happy. I was miserable when I was out there. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. My past is what makes me who I am today. And everything I've ever been through goes together so I can help others today. We will comprehend the word freedom, the word serenity, and we will know peace. Doesn't say our lives are peaceful. It says we know the peace going through it. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. Bicycle, baby seat, oil deal. Yeah. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. I am the author of my life. And I'm not going to feel sorry for myself anymore because I am not a victim. I am a survivor. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. I am so grateful for the things I have today, And if you just came in, if you're new, and your life just seems so fucked up, I'm not going to tell you it's not. You know, when somebody asks you, how are you doing? And you tell them, I'm not okay. And that's okay too. We don't have to be okay every minute of the day. It might not be okay right now, but if we just stay sober and keep moving forward, it will be. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. Doesn't say anywhere in there we're going to be economically secure. It just says the fear is not going to be there anymore. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. I don't always fly off the handle as much as I used to. I am a work in progress. And we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. My best thinking got me here. And I am really so grateful that it did. You know, and if you've got that big empty hole in your heart and you are so freaking miserable, you don't know what you can do to change it, look around this room. This, you know, we didn't come in here success stories. I didn't wake up one morning and say, my life is so freaking wonderful, I think I'll get sober. I had huge major consequences as direct results of my choices. And you know, I can't go back and change that. I can't go back and make up the 8 years that I abandoned my older daughter. I'll never get that back. But you know what? I can't. I came in here and I did the next right thing. And even though I can't make up that time, I can make sure I'm not that mom anymore. That daughter's 32 years old now. And when I got her back, she wrote a letter to the judge and said, my mom earned the right to be my mom again. And she chose to come back with me. And those are the gifts. Those are the gifts. It's not about the material things, but don't get me wrong, I like a nice house. You know, it's about this right here. That big empty hole in your chest that you're trying to fill with all those outside things, and it's never going to work that way. You know, come in here, get a sponsor, do the steps. You know, don't be, you know, I'm not telling you don't be afraid. There's going to be some stuff coming up you're not going to want to look at. But if you don't look at it, you're going to get loaded. Those steps are the keys to your freedom. This fellowship are the people that will hold your hand and love you when you can't love yourself or when you feel that you're unlovable. We're all God's children. And I don't know what your belief system is, and I'm not here to tell you what it is, but find a God of your own understanding. Get a sponsor, work the steps, and find a new way to live. Thanks.